Today on Real Radio.
What James is telling us not only cut to the quick of his audience, it cut to the quick of us. Are we really believers? Paul the Apostle said, examine yourself to see whether you are truly in the faith or not, lest you be deceived.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through the New Testament letter written by James. We're in a mini-series that explores a section of Scripture that really is often discussed and debated and quite often misunderstood. It's found in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. It's the passage that talks about works as well as faith in the life of the believer. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Salvation by Faith or Works.
To make an illustration, to drive the point home, Abraham takes his son, and God says, I'll tell you when you get there that this is the hill. I don't know about Abraham, but you know how kids are on the back of a car. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I bet Abraham's riding the donkey. Is that the hill? How about this hill? For 3 days they rode. After the command came out to Abraham to kill his son, in Abraham's heart and Abraham's mind, his son had been dead 3 days. A 3 days journey away until they get to the place where God says, that's the hill, that's the mount, right there. Remember the name of it? Mount Moriah. It's called Golgotha today. It's the same place where another father offered up his son 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ. Did Abraham know that he was acting out the prophetic offering of Jesus Christ himself through the Father? I don't think so. But God tells Abraham to go do this thing, and Abraham moved in faith to offer his only begotten son. And of course, the angel of the Lord stops him as he's going to sacrifice his son. But it's an amazing thing because here's Isaac, 30 years of age, and he's laying down willfully. Not only did Abraham believe that the promise that God had given, remember what that promise was? Abraham, through Isaac, I'm going to bless the entire world. But Isaac hadn't been married yet. Isaac didn't have any kids yet. Abraham literally believed that God would have to raise his son from the ashes, from the dead, to fulfill the plan. And Abraham trusted God to do that very thing. That is incredible. What's with the faith of Abraham? Abraham was ready to kill his son because he loved the Lord so much, and God had asked him. The angel of the Lord stopped the knife going into Isaac's chest, and then Abraham, as the scripture says, God says to him, now I know, Abraham. Of course, he knew all along, but Abraham had to be taught. Now I know, Abraham, you will not even withhold your son from me. And they both went back down the hill and joined their friends and rode back home. And Abraham called it worship. That's amazing. True childlike saving faith will follow God at His word, no matter how ludicrous it may seem to be. It's the divorcing of self. God, you are mine. You're all that I need. You're everything to me. And God says, I want to keep it that way. But listen, James says here, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son on the altar? You know what, people? You see the question mark at the end of verse 21? The act of offering Isaac. This is extremely interesting. Now, I want you guys, I know it's hot in here, but I want you to catch this. I was so blessed by this that I got up and I physically had to get up and move around my house where I was studying because this blessed me so much. Are you ready for this? Everybody listen up. This is in Genesis 22, this event. Abraham offers up Isaac in Genesis 22. No problem. But God was speaking to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 6. And told Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 6, because you've believed in me, I am now stamping you righteous. You are now holy in my sight. You are justified in my sight. You are redeemed in my sight. When? Genesis 15, verse 6. So what's your point? This is the point. It was 40 years later that Abraham takes his son up on the hill. So do we have a discrepancy in the Bible? No. We have the most awesome, wonderful thing stated. Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord says, you're righteous. By the way, when did God say, according to his book, that you were righteous? Listen. God says to Abraham, you're righteous. And you're my friend. Isn't that great? God says you're a friend. You're my friend. That's awesome. God says, you're my friend. 40 years goes by, and God says, take your son to the top of the hill. James says he was justified when he offered his son. That is exactly true. But there's some more to the story. You see, and I'm looking for a response. Somebody give me the answer to this. According to the Bible, when were you saved? Somebody give me an answer. The right answer. Oh, come on. Don't be shy. It's just us. Ephesians chapter 1. We were saved in the heart and the mind of God in eternity. God knew that we were going to be His. Okay? Did you know that? Did I know that? I didn't know that. You didn't know that. God knew that. So when were we justified in the sight of God? He knew all along. When was Abraham really a friend of God in God's mind? All along. Why did God call Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees to create a whole new nation? God knew who he was going to call his friend. God knew Abraham would believe in him. God knows these things. God knows right now, those of you who are going to accept Christ today, he knows this. He knew those of last service who were going to accept Christ before he ever created the moon. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. But when did you know? When did your family and friends know that you were a Christian? This is the wonderful impact of what we're talking about. In the mind of God, you were justified from eternity because those of you who are born again Christians, he knew you were coming. In the mind of God, it was a done deal, Ephesians 1 tells us. But before man, before observable witnesses, when does it happen? When are we justified in the sight of our friends and family and enemies and all? When we produce the works. That's why James says, was not Abraham justified by works when he offered up Isaac? Yes, that's exactly true. Then why does Paul say in Romans 4, verses 1 through 5, that Abraham was justified in the sight of God by faith? Is it by works or is it by faith? It's by both. If you truly have faith in God and you're justified before God and God has called you to be his child, you have saving faith in Christ. Well, what's the proof among us as eyewitnesses? Justification by works. See, it doesn't really bless my life at all if you say, I'm a Christian. What blesses my life is if you pull over and help me with my flat tire. Don't drive by and say, Pastor Jack, is that you? Yeah, it is. You got a flat? Uh-huh. Well, be warm and be filled. God bless you. Bye. That's pretty rude. That's exactly what James is talking about. Don't say you're a Christian and live otherwise. The reason why Abraham is our illustration of faith is because he believed in God, and as time went on in his life, fruit or works began to flow from his life. If you say you're a Christian, what's flowing from your life? Jesus says in John 7:35 that we who believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, he says that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Is that what's happening in your life? Do you and I provoke people to want to become a Christian? That's what James is saying. Don't tell me that you're a Christian. James is saying, I want to see it. And if you can just talk about it, James says, your faith is dead. You're not real. Well, I got a Bible. Well, I'm sure Satan's got a volume of Bibles. I memorize Scripture. Satan knows more Bible than all of us combined. Well, I've been in church for a long time. Well, I'm sure Satan visits church all the time. But I believe, James says, the demons believe, and they're not saved. Well, then how do I know? How do I know that I'm really saved? Because first of all, you're concerned right now about it. You're concerned. You're serious. It's a, man, wait a minute. Last week, I almost got mugged. I had people telling me, I'm going to do my thing no matter what you say. And I said, what did I say? What did I say? I didn't say anything. I'm just the messenger. Don't confuse the messenger with the message. They're all upset at me. Well, I'm going to do my thing, and I don't care what anybody says, and I'm not going to come back anymore. Okay. We need the seats anyhow. The fact of the matter is, what James is telling us not only cut to the quick of his audience, it cut to the quick of us. Are we really believers? Paul the Apostle said, examine yourself to see whether you are truly in the faith or not, lest you be deceived, as some have been. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Why does 1 John tell me these things have been written that I might know I have eternal life? I want to know it. By the way, somebody will tell you, you can't know until you're dead. Oh, what a time to find out. Think about it. I'm dying now, any minute, and gee, I get to know where I'm going to be in eternity, heaven or hell. No, the Bible says you can know now. The Bible says that our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the sons of God. You can know that now. What justified Abraham? Faith in God when it came to the heavenly record. What justified Abraham? Works before men when it came to the earthly record. You see how neat that is? Don't tell me you're a Christian. I need help now. Show me. You see? It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. Listen to this. Hebrews 11:17. You ought to jot it down. This is incredible. It's a commentary on this passage of Scripture. It says, by faith, Abraham, notice it's not works, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, and Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 19 of Hebrews 11. This is an awesome passage. Abraham concluded then that God was able to raise up Isaac even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Isn't that awesome? Abraham knew that if he killed his boy, God would raise him up. That's faith. Isn't that just like a little kid? They're just like that. They'll believe anything. That's what we're supposed to be like. I'm not saying gullible. I'm saying when God speaks, we're supposed to say, okay, whatever you want, Lord. It's fine with me. That's Abraham. He was an old man who was like a child in faith. Well, Jesus, Lord God, you said you're going to bless the world through this boy. I don't see how that's going to happen if you ask me to just kill him. But I'm going to do what you said. And I believe if I kill him, you're going to raise him up from the dead. That's the deal. That's the bottom line. That's faith. Listen, verse 22. Look what he says here. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Listen to this. Very, very important. What I want you to see in verse 22 is that there's an association of faith and works, and I'm just going to touch on this, and for time's sake, we're going to keep going. Look at it this way. Kierkegaard, by the way, put it like this, and it's just a brilliant way to look at it. He says, consider a Christian like a bird who has two wings to fly. Kierkegaard said that a bird cannot truly fly right or fly at all unless it has faith on one side flapping its wing and works on the other side of its body flapping its wing. When those two wings begin to flap, says Kierkegaard, faith and works together, that bird is going to move. And he said that's exactly how the Christian is. The Christian has faith on one side working, and he's got works on one side working. And the Christian who's really, truly real, you'll be able to see because there they go. Faith's a verb. They'll be moving on. They'll be finding things. Hey, what needs to be done? Or if it's in the home, you know, I'll take out the trash or whatever it is or whatever the case might be. They're doers. People who know the Lord are doers. Why? Jesus even himself said to his mom and his stepdad, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? So should we. Jesus says, greater works you'll do than I have done because I'm going to the Father. Meaning he was going to send the Holy Spirit who was going to work through us. It's very exciting. There's an association of faith and works together. He says, do you see? The word see here in the Greek means look at the clear fact. He's challenging every Christian who's hearing this message or this verse for the last nearly 2,000 years. He says, take a look around. Know this, faith works together with works, and by works, faith is complete. You can talk about it all you want. James is saying, I'll tell you after a month of observation if you're a Christian or not. These are strong words. People don't want to hear this. But it really is for our benefit because it leads us to a clearer reality of what we should be like in this world. And verse 23, under this same point, we come to the third, really, explanation under this saving faith of Abraham, and that's found in verse 23, the authority of God's prophetic word. He says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's incredible. Just as the scriptures said. This morning, we all read Psalm 138, verse 8. And it says there that God's going to finish the work that he started. You may not believe that, or you may. It doesn't matter. He's going to do it anyway. He's going to complete that work. And the fact of the matter is, the prophetic word of God says that God will complete all that he has promised to do in your life. Now that ought to get us all pumped up. That ought to get us excited. He will complete it. Why the prophetic word? It says, and the scriptures were fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God. The Bible will come to a completion. Did you know that? When the book of Revelation leads us to the last of its chapter, to the last of its few verses, this book will become a living reality in eternity, and the consummation of the ages will be in, the revelation of man would have been complete. All of God's works will be accomplished. And what he's begun in your life, he's going to complete. Verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. This is the second time he's used this statement, justified by works. Second time, he'll use it three times total in a moment here. But in verse 24, the illustration of saving faith. What is it really like? When he says you see then, he's saying to us, observe that a man is justified by his works and not by faith only. A few things I want to point out. First of all, when he says see, you see that a man, first of all, ladies, he's talking Mr. and Mrs. Man. He's talking mankind, those who claim to know God. He's not being sexist here. He's saying, those of you who are believers, he says, you see then, clearly observe, watch this, that a Christian is justified by works, watch with me, watch your Bible, and not by faith, thank God. There's the word next to that. What is it? Only. Because if you would have moved that period right behind the H in front of the O, we would have had a major, serious problem in the Bible. You would have been able to find the first contradiction in Scripture, which is not at all. But thank God for that word only. You want to know why? Because faith cannot be separated from works, but works can be separated from faith. There are cults who believe they can work their way into heaven. There's a certain cult that says, yeah, you're saved by grace only after that which you've done all that you can do has been accomplished. That's not grace. Cults put human effort up front. James is saying, listen, because you have faith in God, you will have works as well. And that's beautiful. Because it's an orange tree, it produces, watch, it doesn't produce orange trees. Not exactly. What does it produce? Oranges. Why? Because it's an orange tree. We're Christians, so we produce, or through us, the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. Do we produce other Christians? Does the orange tree produce other orange trees? Not directly. Other Christians have the fruit of the Spirit flowing out from them, which leads others to Christ Jesus. You see how that works? There's an effectiveness to our walk. It's very, very obvious, very visible. But you never see an orange tree standing out there alongside the road going, oh, gosh, if I've got to produce 200 more oranges like this, that's going to kill me. No, it just stands there in the sunlight. And it produces oranges. It doesn't grunt. You don't hear the tree going, ugh! No, it just happens. It's fruit. It's not works. Works simply confirm. The third point is in verse 25, the illustration of Rahab's saving faith. It says here, likewise, was not Rahab, this is hilarious, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Well, what does that mean? This is kind of weird. First of all, let's put ourselves in the sandals of the first original hearer. This is fun. James is a good Jewish man. He's speaking predominantly to a church filled with completed Jews or born-again Jews. By the way, you know what the word Jew means, right? J-E-W. It's, in fact, if your name's Judy or Jude, it means to praise, one who praises the Lord. Isn't that a neat name? In fact, in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, Paul says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly with the circumcision of the flesh, but he is a Jew inwardly whose circumcision is of the heart, not done by men, but done by God, whose praise is of the Lord and not of man. So do you love the Lord? Do you love to sing praises unto the Lord? According to the Bible, Romans 2, 28 and 29, you and I are Jews. We're praisers. Isn't that neat? In the Spirit. That's awesome. Well, the fact of the matter is, Abraham was the first Jew. And if you're sitting in this audience and you're listening to James's message right now, 2,000 years ago, you're saying, yeah, preach it, James. Let it rip. Oh, yeah, tell us more about Abraham. Father Abraham had many. Yeah, we know that's... They're all excited. Yeah, you're talking about our man. Abraham. He's the greatest, most revered name in Judaism to this very moment today. And they're going, yeah. And then James says here in verse 24 or verse 25, he says, likewise. Can you take that word likewise and mark it in your Bible? It is an awesome word. It means just like Abraham in every way, just like what I just told you about Abraham, everything that has to do with Abraham. And you go, yeah, yeah, applies to, yes. And the crowd would have said, I know he's going to mention Moses. Or he's going to he's going to mention Isaiah. Or he might mention Habakkuk or somebody like that. James goes, in every way, just like Abraham was justified, yes, so is likewise Rahab.
Pastor Jack Hibbs on Real Radio. Our message today was called Salvation by Faith or Works. It's an exploration of the book of James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, where we learn of works being inseparable from faith in the life of the believer. This is actually a mini-series called Salvation by Faith or Works, part of Pastor Jack's series through the book of James, and we'll continue it on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, when you get a chance, visit realradioactive.org and click on the banner Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can read online. You can also read archived Words to the Wise if you'd like. And you can also sign up to receive them by email. So again, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and then click on the banner Words to the Wise. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. And here's the mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact is real easy to find at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.